Well, brethren, I'll be continuing our series today on marriage. Marriage today is part five. Marriage, the subtitle being The Roles from Creation. The Roles from Creation. I won't take the time to summarize parts one, two, three, and four. Just don't have the time to be able to do that today. If there are different terms and different concepts that I mentioned today and you haven't had the opportunity to listen to the other parts of the series, they are posted online. But I do want to continue today with part five. Again, the progression that I want us to keep in mind, which is also the title of this series, is love, friendship, love, marriage in the middle, love, death, love. Either next week or the week after, we're going to start talking a little bit and have a sermon about friendship. I don't know many couples who have gotten together that didn't start out as friends. And that's why I have there love, friendship, love. Because sometimes within marriages, we lose track of the fact that at one time, we were just friends. And that should never go away. But we'll come back to that as we continue in the series. Because ultimately, the series is about love. As I mentioned before, the character of God, God is love. And through this series, we'll touch on many aspects of the marriage institution and how important it is with regard to love. Marriage can be successful. Marriage can be very happy. God intended marriages to be wonderful, but marriage is not without its challenges, as I've said, and I'll continue to repeat, because life is not without its challenges. We are not without its challenges. I am not without my challenges. We all sin and fall short of God's glory, and hence, marriage is have troubles and problems. Today in part five of this series, we'll begin examining the specific roles given to women, given to the female, as given to Eve in Genesis. We're going to begin looking at these specific roles. Last time, we looked at the joint roles between that God gives to both the husband and the wife, and we looked at the roles that God gave to the husband. Detailed, specific roles that God gave to the husband. Today, we're going to begin examining the roles that God has given to the women, to the females, to the wives, as given to Eve in Genesis. Go with me over to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It says here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him.'" Helper is the primary title that God has given Eve. Helper. However, there are four specific powerful words here in verse 18 that define the role of women from creation. We will examine two of these words today because within these two words, I believe, have so many aspects of the roles of women been overlooked. These two words, I believe, have been overlooked and taken for granted. And within these two words are at least six incredible roles and gift that surface out of these two words for our wives. Four specific words are used. We'll just look at two of them. And out of these two, there are six incredible roles and gifts that surface that God outlines for our wives. The woman, the helper. You know, I find it interesting, both here in Genesis and in Ephesians, two of the places in Scripture where God details roles and responsibilities in marriage, that significantly more detail is expressed covering the man's responsibility than that of the woman's. Particularly if you read over in Ephesians, it says, husbands or wives, do this. There's a couple of paragraphs there. And then husbands, do this. A lot of detail. Now, I have opinions on why that is the case, which I will support with Scripture as we continue through this series. But here in Genesis 2, verse 8, God begins to provide detail regarding the woman's responsibility, expectations, influence, and position. God, in his infinite plan for mankind to bring forth godly offspring and for men and women to become kings and priests, created in the image and the likeness of God to be resurrected and changed into the God kind, provided the title and the primary role of the woman as helper. Helper. Before we define the word or specific role of the helper, three other roles are brought out here in verse 18 that are included as part of the helper's role, as part of the wife's role, as part of the woman's role. Remember, our definition of role includes expectation, responsibility, influence, position, and not just title. See, sometimes we can focus in helper, and that's as far as we get. We're going to look at that powerful word helper. But there are other roles here that are brought out here in Genesis 2, verse 18. God's expectation, influence, responsibility, and position for the helper is that her role would result in, number one, goodness, which is a combination of at least five additional roles. God says goodness is a role of hers. Number two, the avoidance of loneliness. The avoidance of loneliness. Number three, comparability with Adam. We went through some of that last time. Comparability with Adam. And number four, a helper. Goodness, the avoidance of loneliness, comparability with Adam, and a helper. These are the major roles that Eve will have from creation. I'm going to step through the first two as we examine this awesome design by God. You know, after God gives mankind and gives Adam in particular regarding the tree, his commands regarding the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in verse 17, before he creates woman, Jesus Christ shares with us what's on his mind and why. Why did God create a woman for Adam? Why? He tells us right here in verse 18. He says, "And the Lord God says, it is not good that man should be alone." That's why. That's why. That is a powerful, earth-shattering statement that we have read through and read past for decades without pausing and thinking about what God was about to do and why he was about to do it. Why he was about to do it. Jesus Christ, after creating Adam from the dust of the earth and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life and placing him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, to keep it, and to obey, reveals to us that it's not good that his creation of male, Adam, be alone. Be alone. You can jot down in your notes Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There is a lot in the mind of God that is revealed here in that one verse. A lot of the mind of God that is revealed in Genesis 2, verse 18, providing us insight into the type of men and women that God expects us to be and the type of marriages that God would expect us to have. He says, "It is not good that man should be alone." Man here means Adam. Adam, that's who he's referring to. It is pretty clear here that the statement is not referring specifically to mankind in general being alone, although a case is made that it is not good for woman to be alone either. But here, Jesus Christ is referring to Adam being alone. At this point, even though the Garden of Eden is filled with all sorts of animals and plants, the skies are filled with birds, the sea is filled with fish, there's an abundance of work that needs to be done, critters running around all over the place, domesticatable and non-domesticated. Effort needs to be put in to maintain all of this beauty in the garden, and there is more than enough for Adam to do. God considers Adam alone. He looked down and said, "You're alone." And God declares that it is not good for him to be alone. The first two reasons that Christ gives for why he made Eve are, number one, to maintain goodness. To maintain goodness. And number two, to eliminate loneliness. To maintain goodness and to eliminate loneliness. I find that profound. God says to Adam that his role is to tend, to keep, and to obey, but that's not enough to stabilize a good life for Adam or to establish a foundation for godly offspring that God has commanded both of them to produce. God says, yes, you have all of this. Yes, you have all this work to do, all of these things to keep you busy from sunrise to sunset. But when I look down at you, it ain't all good. It's not all good. Because Adam, you are alone. When I think about the role of a wife, and many of us think about the role of a wife, we immediately jump all the way to Ephesians 5:22 and Colossians 3:18, which says, wives, submit. What a travesty! That's a travesty that immediately when you think about the roles of a woman or a wife, we go right to wives, submit. That is not where God begins. That is not where Christ begins. That is not anything there in Genesis 2 that is wives, submit. If we get these other things in order that God brings out here in Genesis, those two scriptures of Ephesians 5:22 and Colossians 3:18, by comparison, become practically a non-issue. In addition to the fact that submission is often taken out of context and grossly misunderstood and misapplied. But we'll get to Ephesians and we'll get to Colossians later in the series. Christ begins here in Genesis stating that there needs to be goodness. And there needs to be the avoidance of loneliness. And those two roles, along with comparability and the role of a helper, Christ is going to place as primary roles and godly characteristics in Eve. Let's examine these first two critical characteristics of God that were placed primarily in Eve as her role. Goodness and avoidance of loneliness. Her two first primary roles. First of all, goodness. Christ said, "It is not good for Adam to be alone." He would make a helper and add a helper to his life that would bring good and by extension have a primary role of maintaining good in the family. These 5 points are brought out from looking at the word for good. This word for good in the Hebrew is tob, T-O-B-E, tob. This is out of the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domains, Hebrew Old Testament. This word tob has 5 primary roles that make up the role of goodness. Goodness is the overall role. Within that, there are 5 primary roles that women have, that wives have, that are brought out here in Scripture by looking at this word good and goodness. Role number 1, to be good. The role of the wife is to be good. Number two, to be prosperous. To be prosperous. Number three, to be beautiful. To be beautiful. Number four, to feel good. To feel good. And number five, to be pleasing. To be pleasing. To be good, to be prosperous, to be beautiful, to feel good, to be pleasing. To be without a wife is not a sin. It's not necessarily bad, but it does mean that you will be missing something that is intended to be good, prosperous, beautiful, produce good feelings, and is pleasing. It is a part of life that God intended and wanted Adam and his future wife Eve to experience and to enjoy. It is a characteristic of God that he would place primarily in Eve: goodness and the desire to maintain goodness within the family. God placed that primarily within Eve as her role. Her role. Eve's role was to add to Adam's life an experience that is good, prosperous, beautiful, produces good feelings, and is pleasing. What God designed here is amazing. It's simply amazing. God spent a lot of time making sure that Adam understood how precious the gift of a helper would be. God had Adam work in the garden for a period of time, and I think a significant period of time, to work in the garden, to produce, to build, to maintain, and to live without a helper. When Christ brought his helper to him, he said, as it says in the Young's literal translation, "Now this is the right step. This is the right step. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is the right step." You know, God could have brought to Adam another man. And before long, one of them would have killed the other, just like Cain killed Abel. Because that's what men do. Nothing to temper down, nothing to bring in goodness. That first characteristic that God placed into Eve as her role, Eve would bring goodness, her role. Not always, but by and large, it is the woman who brings overall goodness into the marriage, into the household, and into the family relationship. That is a role that Eve would have. You know, I challenge our wives and women to think about and consider if the primary characteristic that you have within the marriage is exuding a sense of goodness. Of goodness. Whether you're married or not, is one of the primary characteristics that you have is to exude goodness. Goodness. You know, I'm not addressing at this point the myriad of social opinions and real relationship problems that hinder a woman's role of goodness. But just like the challenge that I laid out before the men and the husbands to tend, to keep, and to obey while embracing the fact that the woman, the wife, is comparable to him, I challenge the wives to really think about her goodness. Goodness. Somewhere along the line, men lost track of the fact that their wives are comparable to him, equal in intelligence and in domain capability. And the wives lost track of the fact that the gift they bring is goodness. You take away goodness and insert domineering, and you get what we see around the globe. You get an ideology that a woman's role is to be barefoot and pregnant because that's all she is capable of. That is what results. And a wife's inspiration and attitude to produce pure goodness disappears. You can't have a strong, domineering, do it my way, only my way, and then expect goodness. On the other hand, the two contradict. You know, I am blown away by the utter simplicity of Christ. We'll eventually get to Ephesians 5, where the Apostle Paul uses the painfully misunderstood word submit. But we are beginning where Jesus Christ began, with the depth of simplicity of goodness. Goodness. Wives, women, is it in your heart to do good and to maintain good? That's your first role as wives. This Hebrew word tob, as I mentioned, breaks down to five specific roles. Let's examine the final roles that make up this overall word of goodness that is the role of the wife. Number one role, underneath the higher role of goodness. Number one role, to be good. To be good. A wife's role is to be good. It says, in a state of having proper characteristics or performing an expectation function, to do well, to do good. To do well, to do good. Again, keep something here in Genesis. Go with me over to 1 Kings 8 and verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 17. The first role here underneath of goodness, the first role is to be good. It says here in 1 Kings 8, verse 17, now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well. You did tob. You did good. That it was in your heart, in your heart. Challenges in life, situations and circumstances may make it difficult for a wife to bring and maintain a level of goodness in the home as she desires and as God requires. David did not build the temple. There were all sorts of reasons why David did not build the temple, but God said, you did well because it was in your heart to do so. Jesus Christ overranked David and said, David, you're not going to build the temple. There are situations that come up within the home where the husband or situations prevent a wife from doing the things that she would like to do. But the question is, with regard to the primary role, is it in your heart? To do good. Is that in your heart? God said he did well because goodness was in his heart. How about our women and our wives? The deeper question is it in your heart to do good? Is it in your heart to maintain goodness in the home? Is it in your heart to maintain goodness in the relationship between you and your husband by displaying, living, and teaching the godly characteristics of goodness, displaying that. This goodness is God's goodness, which emanates from obedience to God's law. Eve would receive teaching regarding God's law, both from Adam and directly from Christ. When husbands are loving their wives as Christ loves the church, the wife's example, encouragement, teaching and her correction to maintain the goodness of God within the home will be greatly and humbly received by her husband. And yes, I said correction from the wife. That too is a part of her role. A part of her role is to correct things in the home that are not good. God has placed that sensitivity within her to recognize when things aren't good. And she has that responsibility to make those corrections, to suggest those corrections. Those corrections can only be received if the husband understands what we covered last time, that she is comparable to him. She has the intelligence. She has the wisdom. She has the skill. She has ability. She has the direct relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, as we showed with the Hoberet. Between God the Father and Jesus Christ, the marriage lays right on top of that. There's no separation. She has direct access. We understand what her role is. As husbands, we need to be sensitive to the correction she may bring. Wives, you must maintain a heart of goodness no matter what. And husbands, if we recognize that our wives are comparable to us and embrace what that means, even when we are the head of the wife, we must endeavor to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, husbands can say that, you know what? The church does not correct Christ. I don't know where Mr. Jackson is getting off with this. You can say, you know, the church does not correct Christ, therefore the wife should not correct her husband. And that statement is utterly preposterous. The church does not correct Christ, not because Christ is the head of the church, but because Christ is perfect. And when we become perfect, then correction won't be necessary. Until that time, particularly in the category of goodness, we need to be sensitive to the direction and the leading of our wives. But if we are unable to receive correction from our wives and our wives are not able to understand how to lovingly correct her husband, then the cycle of the man exercising dominion over the wife, which is not God's design, will be the hallmark within the household, and goodness will disappear. Her goodness will disappear. It will become compliance or fear or frustration instead of a heart of goodness. God says you are comparable to each other. The desire and characteristic to be good and to do good, God placed within woman as a primary characteristic. God knew that male's zeal and effort to work and to tend and to manifest itself and would manifest itself in ways inside and outside of the home that are not godly, that are not good. That's how men are. You know, we'll get our head deep down into whatever we're doing and not see maybe all the damage, all the problems, other issues. That's how we're designed. Go take the mountain. I'm going to take the mountain. Well, there's children in the way. Well, I didn't see the kid. God knew that. God looked down at Adam and said, it ain't good that he's alone. He needs someone to help bring goodness. A wife should bring that sense of peace, that sense of calm and loving correction to her husband to help him to be good. Go me over to Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 1. Psalm 52 in verse 1. Psalm 52 provides a level of insight into the raw characteristics of men and the blessed gift of goodness of God, that characteristic that God gave as a role to our wives to maintain and to endure within the household. Here in Psalm 52, beginning in verse 1, it says, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? I mean, that's what men do. We boast. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. That's what God wanted to have around Adam. His goodness to endure continually. That's why he gave him Eve and placed within her this role, this characteristic. It says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You know, if the husband comes home and says, you know, honey, a guy on the job told me that if we underestimate our income, You know, if we report our income around $15,000 less, we could save $3,000 in our taxes. Don't you think that's a great idea? The goodness and the role of the wife should be to say to her husband, but sweetheart, Christ says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God's. That would not be godly. That would be a sin. That is not a good idea at all. I suggest that we pay what is due and ask for an extension to pay our taxes over time if necessary. That's the tendency of men. We see a good idea, we're going to run after it. The goodness of our wives bring that temperament. It goes on here to say in verse 3, men, you love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. It is the goodness of God that brings calm, that brings peace. You know, it's the nickname that Pastor Waddle, Tim Waddle, gave my wife. He was living with us for a little while. It's this name that he gave my wife, quote, sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. He recognized that only being with her for one day. Sweet reasonableness. A testament to her wisdom, her frankness, and her love. At the time, I couldn't grasp that at all. What is he talking about? Her? Sweet reasonableness? It took me to retire from my primary work, which is Toyota, and spend time around my wife to be able to see and understand sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. That's goodness that God placed within her. Verse 4 said, you love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Now, we have all heard the sayings, and we have examples in scripture of men who curse like sailors. Cursing up a storm had primarily been a male characteristic, where women were the ones that would temper such behavior, particularly within the home, with words of constraint, gentleness, and peace. But times have changed. Times have changed. You know, for a woman to protect her sanity, protect herself, protect her family, and feel justified as comparable to the man, many display the characteristics of male vulgarity and anger in their words, gestures, and in their dress. That is not what God designed, but it is certainly understandable. But it's not what God designed. From the woman suffrage movement of the 18th century to women's rights in the 19th and 20th century to the challenges across the globe in the 21st century, women have tried to speak up, but because of their goodness that has been taken advantage of by men, so many have found it necessary from their perspective to become more like men than like women. As a result, the ungodly and misunderstood roles in marriage and outside of marriage, contrary to what God established, continues to erupt in battles in society and in homes. The question is, what is happening in your home? Is there a desire, wives, to be good? To be good. That's your role. Wives, have you given up on being good? Husbands, are you enabling goodness within your home? God said it is not good for a man to be alone. I will give him a helper comparable to him to bring that goodness. By and large, we have tossed the gift of God out the window. We can't do that. That first characteristic underneath of goodness, that first role is to be good. Number two, to be prosperous. Tov. To be prosperous. To have favorable circumstances and lack of trouble in life, implying accumulation of many possessions to make prosper. This is again a deep dive into the roles and characteristic that God placed within the helper Eve. Go with me over to Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. Again, the second role of the wife, to be prosperous. It says here in Deuteronomy 5, verse 32, therefore, you should be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that you may be well, that you may be good, that goodness may be with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord which you shall possess. You know, it is often the role of the wife to manage the resources of the home to ensure prosperity. That is often the role of the wife, to manage the resources of the home to ensure prosperity. Although it was Adam's primary role, as we covered last time, to tend, which means to work, his primary role to work, as we covered in part four, after he works, or today after she works, and income and resources are available, who's going to be sensitive to the dietary necessities of healthy living? It ain't me in my house. Donuts, potato chips, popcorn, sounds like a wonderful dinner to me. But as a result, you know, when my arteries get clogged, my life is not prolonged. It's shortened. Who will have the sensitivity regarding the environment that is conducive to raising children on a daily basis? Who's going to have a level of awareness of what the financial needs are, not just to pay the mortgage, but what is necessary to manage other household needs? Who will be there to make sure that the commandments of the Lord and the directives of the husband are carried out carefully? Those are included in the roles of the wife. Those are characteristics that God placed within her. Adam needed help. He needed help. One of the greatest blessings wives can bring to the household is a sense of financial management and budgeting. Now, I've spoken with many men who are so happy that they have a wife who is able to faithfully manage the finances of the home, to help keep track of the bills that are due, insurances that have to be paid, medical expenses that have to be covered, maintenance on the home that needs attention, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God is not saying here that a wife must handle the finances of the home, but God is saying that when it comes to the prosperity of the home, a wife must exercise goodness and awareness of those needs, because oftentimes the husband is head down. That's how he made us. We'll talk about the division of financial responsibilities and methods of doing so as outlined in Scripture. But whether it's the husband or the wife, recklessness with finances and spending can rain havoc on a household and be the impetus of major marital problems because of mismanagement. You know, I know personally of a very good friend, an executive who I worked with for over 20 years, who worked and labored very hard to provide a really good living for his wife. Sadly, she spent their money faster than it could be made. He was making somewhere between $150,000 and $180,000 a year, and this was 20 years ago. And she was spending that money faster than it was coming in. And when he retired, the amount of income was cut significantly, went from $150,000 down to about $80,000 or $70,000, and that's not counting Social Security, that's pension money. When he retired And the money was cut down significantly from that perspective. Her spending habits didn't change. And within 8 months, they were in poverty. Within 18 months, he was living on the streets. Co-workers were shocked to see him down on the corner on the streets asking for money. 3 years later, he was dead. The wife received a handsome insurance policy, but I guarantee if her habits did not change, her fate would soon follow. God gave Adam the goodness of a helper to help him in his prosperity and the prosperity of the family. Wives, that too is your role. That too is your role. Role number three, Tob. To be beautiful. To be beautiful. It says here to have a good, lovely appearance. Again, this is a definition of the Hebrew word Tob. And the characteristic that God declared that he would gift Adam with through his helper. Maintaining a beautiful, good, and lovely appearance is another role that the wife has. Again, this is not a characteristic that is isolated to women, but by and large, a man may keep his home neat. He may keep it orderly. He may keep it clean, but not necessarily beautiful. A male may keep himself clean, may keep himself orderly, etc., but not necessarily beautiful. You know, in my early trips to India several years ago, I was mesmerized by the contrast of the men who are generally clean, well-kept, and their hair was always in order, but by and large, most of them wore white shirts, black pants, and black shoes. And if by chance they wore the lungi, which is the long, colorful skirt, no one would look at that and proclaim it beautiful. But by contrast, the women were adorned in spectacular colors of their saris, reds and blues and greens and yellows and pinks and purples and oranges and gold. You would see a group of women standing at the bus stop just waiting for public transportation, and it would look like a flower just exploded in beauty. And they were just standing there talking, waiting for the bus to come. Here are the men on the other side, and they would blend directly into the wall behind them. Beauty, a characteristic, a role that God placed within the wives. Being beautiful and conscious of beautiful appearance is a role that God gave women. I personally don't have to be reminded about good hygiene. I don't. I did in my teens. I don't now. But I do have to be reminded by my wife of decent appearance. Now I can go out running to the store or even coming to church and this is up and that is down and the buttons are, you know, all sorts of things. She has that knack. She has that gift. But God said to Adam that he was going to add some goodness to his life, some beauty to his life, and the role of his helper. Go with me over to Numbers 24, verse 5. Numbers 24, verse 5. You see, goodness and beauty is a characteristic of God that he placed within the woman, within the wives. Is a characteristic of God that he placed there. Numbers 24, verse 5. He says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the water. This is what God did. Beautiful. Go with me over to Ezekiel 16, verse 11. Ezekiel 16, verse 11. Look what God does. Look how God looks at beauty. He says, I adorn you, Ezekiel 16, verse 11. I adorn you with ornaments. Put bracelets on your wrist, a chain on your neck. I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded in royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I bestowed on you, says Jesus Christ, the Lord God. Wives, part of your role is to be adorned in beauty. Husbands, Adam had the responsibility of enabling beauty for the helper that God would give him. Jesus Christ says, I bestow this upon you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't go over to Ephesians 5:22 about submit. How about going over to Ezekiel 16, 11 to 14 about enabling beauty, enabling your wife to fulfill her role? Just because I have suits in my closet that predate the ice age doesn't mean that I should expect my wife to have the same. You know, I'm fine. You know, I feel kind of proud that I can fit into a suit that I had back in 1982. And yes, it has a tear here. And yeah, the inside is worn out. Yeah, it might have a couple patches over here. Starting to get those bubbles when the, you know, seams start to separate. And I feel fine putting on my suit. I shouldn't expect the same for my wife. God didn't put that within her by and large. Just because that's where I am, that's not where God designed her to be. Wives should have the desire to bring that type of goodness to their husband and into the home. Because according to God, Adam needs it. He needs it. Definition number four. Definition number four, tov. To feel good. Another role of the wife, to feel good, to have a mental feeling of well-being, to be the one in the relationship with a more positive outlook, a more beautiful outlook, an outlook of courage that things will be okay, to feel good. Go with me over to 1 Samuel 16, verse 16. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 16. 1 Samuel 16, verse 16, we get this vision here through David. It says, let our master, 1 Samuel 16, 16, let our master now command your servant who are before you, your servants who are before you, to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. You shall feel good. Your countenance shall change. Tob. Drop down to verse 23. And it was so, whenever the spirit of God was upon Saul, that David would play a harp and play it with his hands. Then Saul would become refreshed and tob and well and blessed and feel good. And the distressing spirit would depart from him. You can jot down Proverbs 15, verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. One of the primary characteristics that God placed within our wives is to have a more positive outlook on life than the husband does. The husband has the responsibility of enabling that. But the wife must hold on to that. Must hold on to that. You know, have you ever experienced a husband being very upset about something? I've been there, and the wife comes and sits beside him with a peaceful, calm voice and able to diffuse that rage, sweetheart, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It could be anger towards a child for something that was done wrong. It could be the loss of a job or a layoff. You see, when it comes to a job is a man's identity. A wife might lose her job and like, hey, well, you know, I'll go out and find another one. I'll figure it out. There's next week. Take a week off, file for unemployment. A man loses his job. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I can't believe that this is happening. The wife comes. It's okay, hon. We'll make it. We'll figure it out. That's the characteristic. That's why Adam needed Eve. That's the role that she fulfills. The goodness of bringing or restoring a good feeling, a good mental state within the home is a gift and a role that God would give primarily to Eve. These aren't just womanly characteristics. These are divine, godly characteristics. David's music soothed the savage beast. David's skill was a gift given to David to do, an analogy, what God has given to women to do within the home, within the relationship, to calm the savaged beast. Because men have a tendency to be focused, and when something steps outside of that focus, we kind of go ballistic. And the wives are there to say, it's going to be all right. There's tomorrow. Let's go for a walk. God has primarily gifted you with that wonderful gift of goodness to feel good. Wives have that role in the home to bring a sense of good feelings, mental well-being, happiness, and smiles. Definition number five. Definition number five, tov, to be pleased. To be pleased or to be pleasing. To be pleased or to be pleasing. It says, formerly to be good in the eyes, to have a fondness and pleasure in an event or in a person. To be pleasing. You know, there's so much in the book of Esther. Go with me over to Esther chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. Esther chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. There's so much in the book of Esther that highlights the godly characteristic of the role of the woman. The word tov, in the sense of pleasing, is used 8 times in Esther, 6 times by Esther herself. If you're unfamiliar with the book of Esther, take time to read it through slowly and carefully, thinking about the personality, the emotions of the individuals involved. As with all scripture, trying to place yourself in their shoes and ask yourself, what would these circumstances look like if this were to play out in my life today? I want you, as you read through Esther, to sense not just the attitude of Esther, but I want you to sense her power, her grace, her intelligence, her organization skills, her management, her decision-making capabilities, her planning, her courage, her faith, all done with a pleasing demeanor. Esther is a tremendous woman that sets an example for all of our ladies and sets a big example for men. Esther had to go in and negotiate with the king. And as you read through Esther, you find out that she knows a little bit about everything. She knows about treaties. She knows about what's being signed. She knows who's doing it. She knows who's making the decisions around the place. And she's making decisions with regard to all of that in a pleasing demeanor. In a pleasing demeanor. Let's begin here in Esther chapter 5, verse 4. Just read through a couple of scriptures. It says, so Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. She's thought about this in advance. She has a plan. She has a strategy. But she's exercising it in a pleasing way. Esther 5, verse 8. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and to fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet, and I will prepare that I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. Esther 7, verse 3. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it is pleasing the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. What courage! Comparable to any man. Faith of any man. Esther 8, verse 5, and said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in your sight, and the thing seem right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's province. She knew what was going on. She knew the letters that went out. She knew where they went. She knew how they were going to be executed. She knew when they were going to be executed. And she knew how to approach the king in order to have that not take place. And she did so in a pleasing way. Esther 9, verse 13. Then Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Think about the planning that went into all of that. She probably had this strategy worked all the way out. She saw those sons and said, you know what? Your day is coming. I got a couple things to work out between now and then, but your day is coming. All 10 of y'all, your day is coming for what you all have done. But everything she carried out was in a pleasing way. Wives have the God-given gift to be pleasing when managing even the most complex and intricate task. You've been given that gift from God. That's your role. That's part of your responsibility. To be snarky, cynical, snide, irreverent, sarcastic, and spiteful is not what God created Eve to be. It is not reflective of a godly helper. But many women have chosen to portray those attitudes. You know, you don't find many men who are snarky and snide. Men have a tendency to express their attitudes and their disagreements by demanding, yelling, and in very volatile ways, right? That's how we display our anger or our dissatisfaction. Why? Because we're in a position of power. We don't have to be snarky. We can just tell you what you're supposed to do and demand it. Women, don't let yourselves become snarky. Now, what would be our image of Eve if God says to Adam, I'm going to give you a helper that is snarky? What would be the reply? Oh, I'll just go plant a few more trees. God said to Adam, I'm going to give you a helper that is pleasing and that is good. A helper whose demeanor is pleasing. That is comparable to you, that is equal to you in intelligence, equal to you in domain capability and dominion capability, incredible. But she's going to have her role and you're going to have yours. As husbands, we are responsible for enabling goodness in our wives. That's our role with regard to our wives. Don't go jumping over to Ephesians 5. Submit, hang out here in Genesis, enable. These characteristics of goodness are not isolated to the wife only, but to the wives primarily, just as working is not isolated to the man only. man's role primarily. You know, we're going to discuss the topic of deciding who does what within the household, particularly in light of the fact that in most households today, it is necessary that wives work and work hard outside of the home. But the fact that that is the truth and that that is necessary and that husband and wives agree for that to be the case does not provide an excuse for snarkiness or for demanding on the part of the husband. Neither is necessary. Neither is godly. All those dynamics can be worked through successfully without goodness disappearing. And the Bible provides guidance to work through all of them, as we shall see as we go through this series. Goodness is a powerful role and gift that women and wives are to fulfill. Again, this Hebrew word tov, that means good, have these five primary other roles: to be good, to be prosperous, to be beautiful, to feel good, and to be pleasing. The last role that I want to cover is also mentioned there in Genesis 2, verse 18, to eliminate loneliness. It is the wife's role to eliminate loneliness. Christ said, "It is not good that Adam, that man should be alone." Understanding what alone means will help us to understand another aspect of the role that Eve was created to fulfill. This word alone in the Hebrew is bad, B-A-D, or bad. I find it a little humorous that the Hebrew word for alone is B-A-D, bad. It is not good that man should be bad. And a good thing. Christ says that a man being alone isn't good. It's not the best equation. It's not the best situation. This word alone means to be by oneself. It means to be the only entity. It means that you have no one in addition to you. Christ says that for Adam to be alone as the only one of an entity with nothing in addition to him that is like him would not be good. Eve was created by God from Adam for Adam so that Adam would not be alone. Hence, a wife's role is to keep her husband from being alone. From being alone. Now, being alone and feeling alone are two very different things. Being alone and feeling alone are two very different things. God says he will create a helper that is good for Adam so that Adam is not alone, because being alone is not good. Men may not readily admit, remember, or know that being alone is not good. Just as Christ enables the church to fulfill its role, husband must enable the wife to fulfill her role for us to not be alone. As a husband, I must remain aware within the relationship that I am to make myself available to my wife by tending and keeping her so that my wife can fulfill her role of keeping me from being alone, which God said would not be good. When that design by God is in place, then the reciprocal effect is that my wife will not feel alone. If I make myself available to her by not having my mind focused 1,000% on my work, and I recognize that a part of my God-given responsibility is to tend her and to keep her, then she has that opportunity then to be with me so that I am not alone. And when that works out, guess what? She does not feel alone. What I have heard many wives say, and I've heard my wife echo the same sentiments to me, is that my husband is not around or so focused on his work or does not call during the day when he is away on business, or he is in the house but not spending any quality time with me, not tending to me, not keeping me, that I feel alone. She feels alone. God created Eve to be with Adam to address loneliness. Adam being alone and Eve feeling alone. If my wife is feeling alone, then I am likely failing to make myself available for her in a way that she needs for her to fulfill her role of making sure that I am not alone. And on the other hand, wife, if your husband feels alone and complains about being alone, and he is fulfilling his role of tending and keeping you, you have to step back and ask yourself, why? What corrections do I need to make? You have to ask yourselves that as wives. I have heard husbands say, I don't feel valued by my wife. She shows me no attention. I feel alone. Do we realize that the first problem that God addresses between husband and wife is loneliness? Isn't that crazy? It's not adultery. It's not submission. It's not finances. It's not where they're going to live and all these other things. The first issue, the first concern that Jesus Christ has between the husband and the wife that he addresses is loneliness. It's not good that that man is alone. Loneliness for both the husband and the wife. That's interesting. I have stated, and many other marriage counselors have stated, that communication is the number one problem in relationships. Is it possible that communication's problems stem from the lack of couples fulfilling the base roles as defined right here in Genesis, which is for the husband to tend and to keep his wife and to obey God's law, and the wife's initial role springs from her goodness to keep her husband from being alone and her responsibility to also be obedient to God's law? Is that possible? That the main problem that comes up being communication is because you're just not together? Eliminating loneliness is a primary purpose for which God created Eve for Adam, and Adam's responsibility is to tend and to keep Eve so that she never feels alone. Let me just read you a couple brief statistics. This is from a website titled flingorlove.com, an article written by Stephanie Pollack. It says, here are the top loneliness statistics for the general population. I'll just read through a couple of them. 58% of U.S. adults were considered lonely in 2021, compared to 61% in 2019 and 54% in 2018. 58% feel that they are alone. 21% of the adults say that they have no friends. We're going to talk about friends either next week or next part of the series or the series after that. Friendship. What a blessing. That's why you got together in the first place. What happened? According to Cigna, men and women experience almost similar levels of loneliness. 57% of men and 59% of women feel lonely. But it goes on to say men are less likely than women to admit the feeling of lonely. In addition, they are more stigmatized than women for feeling the same. But it's real. One other very interesting statistic, loneliness levels are highest in younger adults age 18 to 34. Isn't that interesting? Highest in younger adults. This is incredible. If I have a mind to tend and keep my wife, you have a mind to tend and to keep your wife, and she has a mind to be good for you, to do good for you, and to be with you so that you are not alone, and we both are striving to be obedient to God, then wow. Wow. If I have a mind to tend her to her, to keep her, and she has a mind to be good, and for me not to be alone, and we both are striving to be obedient to God, wow, the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ is amazing. But as humans do, we foul things up. We mess things up. Psalm 68, verse 6 simply says this: God sets the solitary in families. God doesn't want us to be alone. He sets the solitary in families. You see, family, this world is in a sad state. Husbands, you have the responsibility, just like Adam did, to make sure you are obedient to God's law and teaching and keeping your wife and your household so that your wife, like Eve, can fulfill her initial God-given role of being good while assuring that you are not lonely. Husbands, tend, keep, obey. Wives, goodness. Eliminate loneliness and obey. When that takes place, loneliness and the feeling of loneliness can be diminished. Christ looked at Adam and said, "That's the first problem that needs to be addressed." And guess what? That's probably still the first problem that needs to be addressed. What happens when these initial roles given to Eve of goodness and elimination of loneliness fails? What happens when these two roles of goodness and the elimination of loneliness fail? Be it because of the wife not willing or able to fulfill her role, or because the husband is not fulfilling his role of tending and keeping her, or both are not fulfilling their roles of being obedient to God's law. What happens? What happens when there is no goodness? What happens when there is loneliness? What happens when these things get mixed up? What happens? The family collapses. The relationships collapse. One of the saddest testimonies of loneliness and the destruction that it can have on the family was penned in the words of a song written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong in 1971. What happens when these fail? What happens when a man fails to fulfill his role of making sure that his wife has the opportunity to fill the gap of loneliness? What happens when the laws of God breaks down? What happens when it breaks down is loneliness occurs. These are the words of the song written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong in 1971. It was the 3rd of September, a day I always remember. Yes, I will. Because that was the day that my daddy died. I never got the chance to see him, never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, "Son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home, and when he died, all he left us was alone." "Hey, Mama, is it true what they say that Papa never worked a day in his life?" "And Mama, some bad talk going round saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife, and that ain't right. Heard some talking Papa some storefront, doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching, dealing in dirt and stealing in the name of the Lord." Mama just hung her head and said, "Papa was a rolling stone, my son. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone." "Hey, Mama, I heard Papa call him a jack of all trades. Tell me, is that what sent Papa to an early grave? Folks say Papa would beg, borrow, or steal to pay his bills. Hey, Mama. Folks say Papa never was much on thinking, spent most of his time chasing women and drinking. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. Mama looked up with tears in her eyes and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home, and when he died, all he left us was alone, lone, lone, alone. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home, and when he died, all he left us was alone. That is not God's design. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that the primary gift that Eve would bring through her goodness, if allowed, would be the elimination of loneliness. Of loneliness. Husbands, we have to enable. We have to enable our wives to fulfill her role of goodness and the elimination of loneliness. Genesis 2:18 said, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. We still need to look at the meaning of helper and what it means from a wife's perspective to be comparable to him. And we'll do that as we move forward. God expects you wives to fulfill your role of goodness and to eliminate, as best you can, loneliness. Next time, marriage part 6, love, friendship, love, death, love, God's roles from creation.